This interview is of Jim Mustin, the preacher of The Interviewer, Sarah Law, about the effects of COVID on their ability to work and their family life. The interview will go into detail about their job and personal life, both before and after the shelter-in-place order was issued. This interview will be housed at the Reuther Library, which is part of Wayne State University. The object that will be housed will consist of an audio recording and the transcripts of the interview. While most advantageous would be to have the interview with no restrictions, ultimately it is up to the interviewee. This interview will be available for the public, so restrictions are understandable. The anonymity of the interviewee will be preserved so desired, understanding that there will be a time constraint on how long the institution will honor that. There is also an option to house the audio and transcript only. All right, well, after that long introduction,
okay.
My first question for you today is, are you affiliated with Wayne State University?
I am not.
All right. And what, going into the first question here, what did you think when you first heard about COVID in general?
My early impression was that, initially was that it was another virus, one of the viruses that, you know, like the swine flu, the other things that we've had encountered along the way, never anticipated being such a severe situation, a pandemic crisis. So initially it was just, we thought of it as just another virus.
And what is your job? What do you do?
I'm a pastor. I've been pastoring the same church for 28 years. I've been pastoring for more than 40 years.
And how, when COVID first hit Tennessee, when it first hit Memphis, what did you think regarding your job, how it would affect that? Did you have any idea?
Well, initially we didn't know what level of impact it would have on the totality of life. But, once the restrictions started being placed, then I realized immediately, March 22nd was the last Sunday that we were able to meet with our congregation face-to-face in services, and immediately I knew that we had to do something radical in order to continue our ministry.
What did you do to continue your ministry?
We are a small church, but we're very blessed. I'd never had video services before, never contemplated doing it, but immediately when we were told that we would not be able to meet after March 22nd, I went to one of our deacons, who is a retired vice president from FedEx, and he was over their whole computer system, and I asked him, what do we need to do in order to have streaming video services? And he informed me that he would take care of it. And so beginning March 2029, the first Sunday that we were not able to meet with live services, we had streaming video. We used Facebook Live and simple methods like iPads on a tripod. And so it was pretty basic, pretty rudimentary at first, but each week it got better. And so we were able to meet to communicate with our people during the stay-at-home, stay-safe orders, and continue to have our worship service in that way.
What was it like, the initial broadcast, basically?
It was shocking. It was every pastor's worst nightmare, preaching to an empty building. You always prepare a sermon and think, what if I get there and nobody else shows up? So we actually had four people, including me, in the sanctuary for the service, our minister of music, our pianist, and then the gentleman who operated our cameras. And so it was really bizarre, preaching to an empty building. It was awkward, for sure. And it probably showed on my face, because you're used to looking out and getting feedback from the congregation. You're looking at used to looking at faces, and suddenly you're looking at empty pews. So it was strange.
How long was it until the pews filled up again?
We were 7 weeks without meeting, and then the restrictions were loosened. And because we are a small church, we were able to do some things during that 7 weeks to prepare. We're blessed that we have a gentleman who cleans our building who works for one of the local hospitals. And so he used the same precautions, chemicals for cleaning our building that he uses in his hospital work. So our buildings were able to be cleaned. We were able to set up our, mark off our pews for social distancing and to be able to provide masks for our people so that when they did return, after 7 weeks, we returned. Mother's Day was our first Sunday back with our people. And even then, we announced that we wanted people to come as they felt comfortable. We have a lot of older members and many with health issues, and so everybody didn't just return in mass. They came as they felt comfortable, little by little. And so it did take several weeks before, you know, our congregation began to reassemble with the numbers that, you know, we were more accustomed to. But, yeah, we were 7 weeks without meeting at all. So,
what did you think about the second phase when it first started?
Second phase, well, let me say, too, during the initial point, a lot of other things changed, not just Sunday mornings, but my opportunities to visit people in the hospitals, visit our shut-ins at home, all that was suspended. I, you know, couldn't do any of that, and so I was forced to make phone calls. Our church secretary has some health issues, so for that seven-week period, she was not able to come to work, and so I was not only here on Sunday mornings alone, but I was here alone through the week, too, and so that was quite different. But once we moved into the second phase, secretary felt more comfortable about coming back to work, so she came, and so that it was sort of a return to some semblance of normalcy again. Things began to improve a little bit, and so at the same time, we still maintained the same precautions as far as you know, keeping the hand sanitizer available. We social distance. We don't do greetings like we are accustomed to. Our church is very demonstrative. We're a hugging, feeling, touching church, and so we haven't been shaking hands. We haven't taken the collection plate, passing the plate. When we do communion, we don't pass the elements. The offering plates are set out, and people drop their offerings in the plate. And so there are just a lot of things, little things, but still precautions that we've taken to maintain the health and safety of our congregation.
Is there anything that you would do differently to protect your congregation, or would you keep it about the same?
I think for our church, being the small church that we are, I think the steps that we took were appropriate. I've even talked with some of our people. I met last Sunday with one of our Sunday school classes and asked them if they thought maybe we were being overly cautious, and they agreed with me that the steps we're still taking by not having social gatherings, fellowships, you know, after church lunches and things like that, that it's still the right thing to do. And so I really wouldn't do anything differently, I don't think.
And personally, how have you dealt with COVID?
In my own life, with my family, we have 8 grandchildren, and they're initially, we were very careful about not being exposed to them early on. We had limited exposure, and when we did, we're with them. Again, I'm a grandpa, and so I'm a huggy-feely grandpa, and initially we didn't interact with them as closely as we normally would, and so we did, you know, we had some restraint there. And then as time has gone on, we've sort of relaxed some of that and been a little more comfortable. But even still, when we go out, we wear the mask. That was one of the earliest things, the most difficult things for me to adjust to was I was wearing a mask, but I made it a point to always wear one when I was out among people. We've done something, my wife and I, to limit exposure to people. Like we pick up our groceries from Walmart instead of going shopping. We do the pickup, where you just back in, they unload it, and then we put it away. So we've made, you know, several adjustments to life. We eat at home a lot more than eating out. So, you know, those kind of things.
What is something you miss from pre-COVID?
I really miss our Sunday fellowships, our worship, our Sunday church dinners. We haven't been able to do, we didn't get to have our Easter celebration. We didn't get to have, you know, this fall, we usually have a fall festival and a chili cookout, and we didn't get to do that. We won't be having a Thanksgiving dinner, which is a big, big deal to our church, because we are like a big family. And so the family gatherings, as far as the church is concerned, I've really missed that. And then the week by week, the hugs and the shaking hands and the interaction with the people that way, I've missed that a lot.
Have you had any dealings with anyone who's had COVID, or have you had to be cautious as far as being around certain people in that regard?
I have. I've had no one within our congregation actively involved in the church has had COVID. Who was still attending. Let me qualify that. There have been some who had COVID, who had close connections to the church. And I actually preached a funeral for a lady who died from COVID. It was a closed casket service. But I dealt with her family. They were all virus-free. They were all healthy. It was one of the saddest funerals that I've ever preached, because the only people present were her immediate family, we actually did the service in the viewing room, and so it was pretty sad. I've had that. Most of the people that I've dealt with who have had COVID have been younger people who had mild cases and rebounded quickly, and so for them, their statement was it's like having a bad case of the flu or something like that for them. So we've been fortunate. None of our senior adults have had it. None of our people in the church have had the COVID-19.
What's it like to preach a funeral? Have you preached any more funerals for someone who's passed from COVID, or just dealing with the distancing in general?
Well, I've missed a lot of funerals. I've had some friends who've passed away during the COVID quarantine and this COVID period. So I've had some people whose funerals I normally would have attended that was not able to, because they were limited to just a handful of family members. I have preached a couple of funerals during this period where the attendance was limited. I've only had the one COVID patient, and this lady had a lot of other health issues. So she did die with COVID, but they can't say for certainty that it was COVID that took her life, but she did die from complications related to the COVID disease. So, and I don't know that, I dealt with that family any differently, other than just the fact that it was sad for them not being able to have friends and other people attend. So, yeah, that was hard.
Are there any differences in regards? I know you said that you weren't able to go visit people in
right.
hospitals,
right.
or, say, the elderly. Are there any other differences that you've found even in your personal life in regards to COVID and seeing people?
Yeah, we can't go to movies. I've missed going to movies with my wife. We're cautious about places that we go. We did take some vacations. We recently went to a cabin in the mountains because that we felt safe there. We did go back in the summer with our children to Florida, but that was, again, we were very careful about where we went, even to the beach. We were at a private beach, so we weren't, inundated with people on top of us, and we were selective about the restaurants that we went to. So it's impacted that. Ministry-wise, it's also, not only can I not visit the hospitals, but we have senior adults that I visit in the home regularly. My desire is about once a month I visit those folks that are not able to attend, but I haven't been able to do that for the last several months, 7 or 8, 9 months now, whatever it's been, since back in March, and so it's been a while. That's been a difference too. We can't visit people in their homes. Even have some church members now who have some health issues that are keeping them from getting out, and I don't feel comfortable going to their home. My greatest fear is that I might take something to someone else or pick up something from one person and transfer it to another. And so just as an abundance of caution, I'm very careful about where I go and who I interact with.
Are you still trying to be cautious around, I know you are trying to be cautious, but are you still taking the same precautions you were taking at the beginning versus now?
I think I am. I really am. Again, my wife and I do go out to dinner some, but even then we go to places where they're practicing social distancing, and so we're selective about where we go. I don't know that I've let down my guard any. If anything, I'm probably wearing the mask more often, more frequently now than I was initially. Once this thing reached pandemic stage and we knew that and we began to learn more how contagious it was, how easily spread it was, then I began to wear the mask more often. So, yeah.
Do you think the masks are helping?
I do believe the mask help. I think people in healthcare would tell you there's a reason they wear masks, and I'm hopeful that maybe the abundance of people wearing masks will help with, as we're moving into flu season now, with influenza, that maybe we'll see a decline in the numbers of influenza. I already got my flu shot, by the way. I'm hoping that maybe we might see some relief from the typical flu this year because people are wearing masks, so yeah. But I do believe they help, yeah. Do I like them? No. I'm like everybody else. I'll be glad when we can see each other's faces again. But I do wear it. I take mine off occasionally. We have a church member who is hearing impaired, and I visited her the other day in her home because she had had a fall and an injury from that fall. And so for her sake, I kept social distance, but I took the mask off so that she could read my lips so we could communicate. And so, but I think you just have to, use each situation. You have to judge it based on, what you're dealing with at that time. So,
have you dealt with any resistance toward masks or anything like that as a preacher?
I only had one member who said, I'm not going to wear a mask, and he said that one Sunday morning, the first Sunday that we were meeting, and that Wednesday night he was wearing a mask, and it was because his sister told him he needed to wear a mask. So I really haven't had a lot of resistance. I really haven't. I laughed about it because he was the only person who said, I don't want to wear a mask, and then his sister was sitting straight, so I didn't have to. It worked out. So, no, we really haven't had any difficulty with people complying with what we ask. I didn't want to be the mask police. I didn't want to have to tell people, no, you can't come to church because you don't have a mask. And we do it here. We allow our people, once they're seated, like they do in the restaurants. And the Tennessee law was, once in a restaurant or a bar, you could take your mask off once you're seated. And I felt like that same should apply to our church too. Once people are in their pew, they can remove the mask. But when they start interacting, they put the mask back on before they do. And so I think that's made it easier for people to comply with what we're asking them to do. So, but we leave that as a matter of choice. So if people want to keep the mask on, they can. And once they're seated, if they want to remove it, they can. So.
And I'm going to go back to an earlier question.
Okay.
You were saying that you were doing online services as well.
Uh-huh.
Are those still going on?
They are. As a matter of fact, not only our Sunday morning service, it's still streaming video. It's on Facebook Live, and then it's also uploaded to YouTube video. So it'll be out there for years to come. But we do our Wednesday night Bible study. We have a small group that meets on Wednesday nights for prayer meeting. And because that is a more intimate, you know, situation, and people share their prayer concerns a little more openly and to help them feel more comfortable, I do my Wednesday night Bible study beforehand in my office. I do it on Facebook Live also. I do it at 5 o'clock, and then at 6:30 we have our prayer meeting time. And I do the same Bible study with the group that's here, you know, face-to-face. But that way our prayer needs are being shared privately within our group and not openly on Facebook Live. So, we're continuing to do streaming video.
And how do you think that the streaming has helped at all as far as...
Yeah, it's been great. It's something I never thought about doing before, but it's actually increased our... impact of our message. I preach to family members and friends in Texas. I have high school friends who are watching me, many of them who are unchurched and are tuning into the messages. So it's multiplied our ministry greatly, both Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings, by being able to stream live video.
And I'm getting toward the end of my questions now, but one question I have before I ask the final question is, as far as a preacher, as far as a pastor, what is one thing you want to do with the church once COVID is over?
When COVID is done, and we know that there's no risk, one of the things I mentioned earlier, I want to see our church be able to have a fellowship together. We have a Korean congregation that we share our building with, and we have always been, for the last 5 years, we've met together as one family around the table to enjoy fellowship meals, and we've missed that because they have too. I said I believe that God is somewhat pleased to see His children meeting together. I think He's pleased to see kimchi and KFC on the same table. I think God is honored by that, and so I look forward to being able to fellowship around the table with our people again, and I look forward to being able to give hugs and interact in that way. I'll be glad not to have to wear this mask anymore, but I'll wear it as long as it's needed to keep our people safe.
Do you think you'd still wear a mask during sicknesses or anything when this is over, like flu season?
I don't know. I'll take my flu shot and take my chances. But if I've always done this, if I ever felt like I might be coming down with something, I'll keep my distance. There are times when I'll tell our people, I've got, I have twice a year allergy sinus issues. And if I feel like, I've got a runny nose or something like that, I'll tell our people, I'm not going to meet you at the door. I'll just dismiss them and not stand at the door and greet them as I normally do. So I'll probably continue that precaution. I don't know if I'll go back to a mask, but we'll see. Yeah, if I ever felt like I was putting anybody at risk, I would don the mask, for sure.
And my last question for you today is, personally, what is one thing that you want to do once COVID is ended?
What do I want to do? I have a church member who's not real fond of hugs, and I'm going to hug her just just real good so that she know what's something I would do. Seriously, I'm looking forward to being with my grandkids, you know, and having them sitting in my laps again and loving on them a little more. So, yeah, I look forward to that. Being with having our family together without having to take the precautions of safety. Okay?
Well, thank you for meeting with me today and for doing this interview. And
it was my pleasure. I hope this helped you.
It did. Thank you very much.
You're quite welcome.